Welcome to Calcast, your creator national podcast.
Episode 86. Welcome, GNN fans, to another episode of God Network News, the podcast that tells you what God's doing around the world. Not what CNN tells you, but what GNN tells you is going on in the world. If you're tired of listening to all of that crisis network news and you want to hear what God's doing, well, give us a listen. Welcome, God Network News fans, to another exciting episode of God Network News. We have another fantastic story from our brother Shefan from Africa, as he tells a story about how they saw incredible breakthrough amongst tribal groups in the jungles of Africa, deep in the jungles of Africa, where witchcraft is very, very common. And this breakthrough happened when they embraced and befriended a witch doctor and treated him just like they would anybody else, and loved him and shared Jesus Christ with him. He was so surprised and so touched by the forgiveness that he could find in Jesus that it just transformed his life. And because he was such an influential person in the whole community, he led many people to Christ in that tribe. So listen to this wonderful story. I'm sure you'll be inspired by Shefan.
Here we are, God Network News fans, again with our precious brother Shefan to tell us another amazing story from another area in Africa of what God's doing amongst another very remote and unreached people group. Mm-hmm. Shefan, can you tell us the story?
Yes, this is a story that happened in the early days of me working amongst the Aluawe people in the Zambezi Delta. Mm. This area of Mozambique is very remote, very difficult to get to. The journey to get there used to take us 3 or 4 or 5 days in a dugout canoe.
Wow. Oh my
gosh. Hard work. As you approach the area, as you get closer to the area, the rivers are tidal, so you stop and I say camp, but it's not proper camping because you're just sort of waiting in mud for the tide to turn. Because if you try to go when the tide is in the wrong direction, you could be in serious trouble. You know, the channels just dry up.
Yeah. Oh,
this happened several times. That's another story for another day. But, so, you know, we'll do these journeys, and the Zambezi, you know, is full of crocodiles, it's full of hippos. When you camp on the shore waiting for the tide, you are exposed to lots of mosquitoes.
Wow.
I'm not talking about one mosquito, I'm talking about, you see clouds of mosquitoes descending on you. And they're malaria-carrying mosquitoes, so yeah, you see there's trouble. However, the joy that came out at the end of all these horrible journeys was just to meet people who were desperately hungry for the gospel.
Mm.
When we went there with my friend, we were told that we were the very first people to visit them in a long, long time.
Wow.
They never had any outside visitors.
Wow.
I'd heard this before I went there. That's why I went, because somebody told me that that's what this area was like.
Mm.
Again, it was also known, this area was known as the center for witchcraft and sorcery in the whole province.
You know? My goodness.
So people were scared. When we told some people we were going there, I remember being in the city 300 kilometers away with friends of mine who were pastors, Mozambican pastors, praying for me, weeping because they thought they would never see me again.
Oh boy.
You know, they said witchcraft is so bad, they'll kill you with witchcraft as soon as you get there. But anyway, when we got there, we were trying to find our man of peace in the village and struggling a little bit. And then somebody told us, and I think the thinking behind this was, you know, this is the best way to get them into trouble, because they pointed they pointed at the sound to the heart, which belonged to a witch doctor.
Oh my God.
And he lived, everybody lived, their hearts were built on stilts.
Okay.
I'm sure you've seen images of this, because in some parts of Indian Jaya, for example, it's very similar. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Very,
Amazon
very
is similar.
Similar
to that.
Yeah.
Too, yeah.
And the staircase to get to the heart is just a massive log which has got cuts on it.
Yeah, like steps.
That form steps. So somebody pointed us to a heart, you know, which is in a separate part of the village, and said, "Go and find out if you know." So we went, and it looked as if there was nobody. And then we had some movement up there. And then, you know, I say door, but it wasn't a door. It was just a mat which was draped over the opening.
Right.
You know, we had stuck out. And he asked, "Who was it?" And I responded. I'd learned a little bit of the language already by this time. Mm. I responded and I said, "It's us, and this is what we want to do." He said, "Okay, wait a minute, I'll come down." And sure enough, he came down, and we sat down under a mango tree, and he said, "Yeah, what do you want?" So we said, "No, look, we've come here, and we want to be your friends." And he says, "But the reason why we've come is we want to share Jesus. We want to talk about Jesus." Mm-hmm. And he asked specific questions. What is it about Jesus that you think I should know that I don't know? Because in the African context, everybody knows God. Mm. See, yeah, who doesn't know God?
Mm.
So we explained that, yeah, while that may be true, but we know that many people are distanced from him. They don't have a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've come to share with you is that you can have a relationship with God. He says, "Yeah, okay, I would like that. What stops me from having a relationship with God?" So we said, "Well, what stops us from having a relationship with God is our sin." So he says, "Explain that." So we explained to him. And we could see that the message was really getting to him.
Mm.
And after we finished, he was silent for a long time. I said to him, "What do you think? What do you think about what we said?" He said, "Yeah, I'm thinking that it is a powerful message, but it's from what you're saying, I can't have a relationship with this God because I've put things up there. Did somebody tell you that? Do you know that I'm a witch doctor?" We say, "Well, we didn't know that." He said, "Yeah, I'm a witch doctor. You know, I'm the one who looks after all these people here, you know." We asked him why he was silent. What was he thinking about what we had said?
Yeah.
And his response was, "I'm a witch doctor. I have my staff up there. Did somebody tell you this?" He said, no, nobody told us. So yeah, I look after them. You know, when anybody's sick and so on, I'm the main medicine man here. You know, I'm the one who call on the spirits here. I'm the one who gets consulted by the chief to sort out any matter spiritual. So from what you're saying, it doesn't look like I qualify to be God's friend. And we say to him, "Well, on the contrary, that you are the kind of people that God is looking for." So he said, "But it sounds like I have to give up my stuff." I said, "Yes. If you think it's evil and it's not right, he said, "I know it's evil. It's not right. I would like to give it up." Well, that's the thing. You see, you have to make that decision. We can't make that decision for you. Another long silence. And then he stood up and climbed his steps to go up into his heart, came back with a bag full of all his stuff.
Wow.
Chucked them onto the ground, you know, tipped everything onto the ground, and in it was, you know, old tortoise shells, you know, seashells, you know, all kinds of things, you know, clothes from the clothes of a leopard, dried up clothes of a leopard, and the clothes of a crocodile, all kinds of things, you know, piled on the floor. And he said, "You see, this is my stuff. This is what I use." So we said, "So what do you think?" He said, "Well, I want to be God's friend. I don't want to, you know, can you take it away?" We said, "No, we can't take it away, but we'll tell you what you can do. We can help you find some grass and some dry wood, and you can burn it." He says, "Yeah, that's a good idea." So we did that. we gave him a lighter. We said, you light, you put the light on, you burn it. You need, this is your decision. It's not us.
Yeah.
This is your decision."
Yeah.
Says, "Yeah, let's do it." So we prayed. He lit the stuff, went up in smoke, and we sat down with him and prayed some more. And he became our main contact in the village. Each time we visited, we went to see him. And because of the influence he had, everybody, number one, everybody heard that he had gotten rid of all his sorcery stuff. And so he himself went around telling people, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do that stuff anymore for you. I believe in Jesus now. I've given my life to God. I'm God's friend because those things made me God's enemy. Now I'm God's friend. And you need to be God's friend too. He became one of our key evangelists in the area, sharing his story.
Now he had even more power, probably, because he could pray for people to be healed and all this.
Yeah.
That is exciting. Wow, that's a powerful, powerful story.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And then, and so you went back with your team then and, you know, would do follow-up things, and he was your contact then to meet others.
And he became a key member of the church.
Wow.
And as I said, because of his past, because of the influence he had. You see, the witch doctor in the African context has a unique position in the sense that he's the guy that everybody fears because he has this power and control over others.
Yeah.
But he's also the person everybody wants to go to because they believe that he has answers to all their spiritual issues.
Right.
Which means in the context of Africa, every problem is a spiritual problem. So, you know, sickness, you know, barrenness, every problem is spiritual, and he's the guy with the answers. There is nobody who didn't know about this church, not just in that area, far and wide. I remember when we went to other villages, people would describe us as, oh, those are the guys that converted that the famous witch doctor that we used to go to. That's how we were described first, because that's the influence he had, and you know, when he changed, everybody knew about it.
That's amazing. Maybe that should start a new strategy, witch doctor targeting strategy for a church planting.
I mean, it was grace of God that I think the person who directed us to him was trying to be mischievous, thinking if they explain to him what they are here for, he should have been the one to resist us the most.
That's
because we were directly in confrontation with what he stood for. But I remember, just going back, Calvin, I remember one of the prayers or the things we prayed for a lot before we started going to this area, we prayed for what we described as power encounters. We knew, we had, as I told you, the people, we were told this is the center of witchcraft in central Sofala province in Mozambique. And we knew that, so people were open to the spiritual things. And we said, when our prayers, we used to say, they need to encounter a power that's greater than anything they have experienced.
Right.
So for them to see the power of God demonstrated in the conversion of the man they thought was the most powerful man spiritually in their village, that even their chief submits to him because he's the guy who is the main link between the spirits and their world, to see him turn around, this was answer to prayer.
Yeah, that's powerful.
And so even the guy who had directed us to him, thinking he will chase us away because it's in his interest to keep these people under his influence.
Yeah.
It would have been his interest.
Sure.
But he didn't. There was not even any resistance. I remember one of my team members saying, are we supposed to believe the conversion of that guy so easy? Because it doesn't happen with witch doctors. It doesn't happen so easily. In some places, I've been threatened. I have had cases put on me by some witch doctors in some places. Because it's the opposite. You know, if you're talking about light and darkness, that's exactly what this thing is. You know, the gospel is standing for light. A witch doctor in the village is standing for the kingdom of darkness. So for him to welcome us, for him, and he was very calculated and thoughtful in his decisions. He didn't rush. So when one of my team members challenged me and said, do you think his conversion was genuine? I said, well, we'll find out when we come back. And sure enough, when we came back, he was waiting for us. He couldn't read. That was one of the challenges we faced in that village, was nobody read in that village.
Right.
So when we started our church there, you know, we were so keen for people to read the Bible, but there was nobody who could read. So we told stories, and when we came back and we sat down with him, we said, do you remember the story we told you last? Oh yeah, have you told? Yeah. His witnessing strategy was very simple. You'll go to people or approachable people who came to me and say, I was God's enemy because of the things that I did. So you came to me. You come to me thinking I can help you. But now I wasn't helping you because those things were contrary to what God wants. Now I'm God's friend. I don't do those things anymore. You need to be God's friend too. That was his gospel message.
Good. That's good.
Because you had no scriptures, nothing. That's what he used for witnessing.
Wow.
And so we just built on that and said,
that's
a
wonderful.
Powerful message. That's how you preach. Mm, said, do you think I'm doing it right? I said, yeah, this is great.
That's fantastic. That's really exciting. And the interesting thing is that, I think the scripture that comes to my mind about the beginning of the story where the people were pointing you to the witch doctor and you didn't know. It was like what the devil meant for evil,
yes.
God meant for good.
Exactly.
God knew the heart of that man.
Yeah.
And no one else really knew what was in that man's heart, but God knew that he would be the one that he would open the door for the kingdom in that place.
Yeah.
That is so exciting, Chef. And thank you so much for sharing that amazing story. And it brings a lot of hope and a lot of inspiration and a lot of glory to God because it's only God that could have done such a thing.
Thank you for having me, Calvin.
Bless you, Chef.